My dear friends, Dan and I have something this morning that we want to talk to you about. We haven't told anybody, but we have talked to the couple that you've heard about. And both of us, after talking with them, feel that they should not, I repeat, should not be deported. We wanted them on our program so that you could hear what they had to say. We feel that strongly about it. We're talking to Diane and Domingo Ferreira. You have heard about them, and it's not going to be long, and Domingo will be gone. He will be taken away from his wife, from the children. And so Dan and I, we decided that we wanted to sit them down with us so that you could make a decision that would be beneficial to them after you hear their story. Dan, this is something that both of us are deeply, deeply concerned about.
And the story needs to get out. So, Diane and Domingo, thank you very much for coming to our studios to explain the story. Let's begin, and Diane, we'll ask you first. Mm-hmm. Just give us some background of how we've gotten to this point.
Basically, I don't even know where to start. There's so many issues that came into play. Our story is very complex. As everyone knows, there was a crime committed back in 2004 by my husband. There were a lot of extenuating circumstances, which I know we'll get into. However, basically, we dealt with that, moved on with our life, and in 2012, we received a letter indicating that my husband had been deported. Upon further checking, we determined that there was somebody that had been using his identity for many years, committing crimes. They actually were in a different state here in the United States. We're not privy to all the details because apparently, even though he was using my husband's identity, he's entitled to his own, confidentiality. But nevertheless, he was committing several crimes under my husband's name. He was deported under my husband's name, which, in my opinion, was a big boo-boo in light of all biometrics and things like that that are used by immigration and enforcement. How that ever came to occur without checking fingerprints, I don't know. But nevertheless, it occurred. We did obtain representation. We did attempt to rectify it, but we were informed not to because of my husband's old one-time criminal record. Nevertheless,
you're a Hartford native.
I am born and raised Hartford, Connecticut. I am as American as you get. I am French and Irish. My mother was a Hartford police officer. I worked for many, many years in the criminal justice system, social services, helping people here in the greater Hartford area. So, yes, all of our children are also born here in the greater Hartford area.
And Domingo, you came to the United States legally.
Yes, I did. I came in this country November 19, 1986. I was 14 years old.
When you folks found out that, and Domingo, you were the one that's going to be deported,
yes,
if we don't get something done, and you've got the family here, Diane, you haven't been well.
No.
And sitting here just talking to the two of you, I cannot understand. I really, truly cannot understand. A pocketbook and a wallet.
Yes.
That's what was stolen by your husband years ago.
Yes. And I think one of the things that we did want to talk about, and my husband by no means makes any excuse for anything that happened. He has always taken responsibility. In fact, he was the one that voluntarily turned himself in and admitted to the crime, even though he had absolutely no recollection of the crime. Basically, what happened is this is a man that prior to that happening had never been in trouble before. After that happening, had never been in trouble. He worked 80 hours a week, two full-time jobs. There are people that will attest to his character. During a work-related injury, he was not able to seek medical help. They did not let him, so he went almost a period of 24 hours. At that point in time, and this is really important, I think, because people don't understand his frame of mind at the time. All they see is, okay, this man committed a crime, and that's it. It's cut and dry, case closed, he should be gone. But they don't understand. This was a man that provided for his family. He became very sick. He had a trapped groin injury, a strangulated groin injury, which has made him permanently disabled. Can you picture being a man who has raised a family, who has a wife, who's been married many years? You have to attend to the functions of the home. You have to take care of your wife. You have to continue working 80 hours a week, but now you're permanently disabled. At the time, we didn't have the granddaughter. But he became disabled. He was not in his right mind. He disappeared from the home for a week. I did not expect them to find him alive. He was permanently, I think the word is, demasculated. He was suicidal. He had been in and out of the mental institution because of it, because he could not fathom how this could happen to him and what was he going to do. What was he going to do with his life now? How was he going to be able to maintain and continue to support his family? So he was not in his right mind when this happened. He tried to atone for everything. He turned himself in. They did find him. Thankfully, he came home. We managed to get him help in treatment, and we put that behind us. You know, he got well. He managed to find jobs that he could do despite his disability. And we went on with life, and we attempted in every way, shape, and form to give back, and he did. He was a cook supervisor for many years. He went to church. He served in soup kitchens. He's the type of neighbor that, you know, you want to have. He'll be out there right with you shoveling your snow while you're sitting drinking coffee. I mean, that's just the type of man my husband is.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and then we will be back with Domingo and Diane Ferrara as they tell their story here on Brad and Dan. Coming right back.
One of the reasons Diane and Domingo, the reason that you are here with Dan and myself is because it's hard for us to understand what you have been through and the treatment along the way. Now, yes, your husband committed a crime years ago, a pocketbook and a wallet.
Yes.
And to see immigration all of a sudden coming and saying, we are going to take your husband away from you and we're going to send him out and you're going to be responsible for the children and yourself, and you're not well.
No.
You're very, very good as a speaker.
Thank you.
But I can just see sitting here with you in the morning that
he's how you everything.
I mean, really. I mean, this is what people don't understand. I mean, seriously.
People see me on the media and they think I look good, but they don't understand the severity or the nature of my illness or my daughter's illness. Physically, I have a host of issues, such as psoriatic arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, fibromyalgia, myofascial pain syndrome, osteoarthritis. Those all affect my bones. There are days that I cannot get out of bed. But more debilitating than that, even physically, is the fact that the inoperable brain tumor, there is nothing that can be done. It is slowly growing, and it's caused a host of neurological conditions, such as seizures and tremors, and basically what's been defined to us as early onset dementia. And that is what plays the biggest part in our life, because on my own, I'm not able to drive anymore. I lose chunks of time. I don't remember, did I take my meds? I get confused. I get anxious. I get scared. I forget things. And he's my caretaker in all sense of the words. I mean, not only physically when I can't get out of bed those days or wash myself, but just the reassuring me, being able to say, you know, okay, this is the date. This is what's going on. People don't understand the stressors of somebody that lives with dementia.
And Domingo, obviously your health is not good. Talk about that.
Diabetic, severely diabetic.
Two insulins.
I take two insulin, one before I eat and then one long lasting. You know, I care more about, you know, my family than I do about my own health, because, you know, that's just important to me. And, you know, I just want to remain here in the country to keep doing what I'm doing. Like they say, for better or for worse, you know, I'm here with my wife and my kids and my grandkids, and I just want to continue, you know, remaining here in the country so I could continue being that provider that I am. And, you know, I just...
People think he has it easy, and they don't understand it. He's got it much harder than most people can even imagine, because not only is he taking care of me, who's sick, he's taking care of my daughter, who has almost all of the same verbatim, same conditions as I do. They think it's genetic, aside from the dementia. There are days that she can't get out of bed. Her joints swell. She slithers on the floor sometimes because she doesn't want to bother him to help her out of bed. And, you know, she will come across her on the floor because she can't walk to the bathroom.
Now, you mean to tell me that the folks that want to deport your husband, do they know? Have they sat with you and heard this?
They've been provided much medical documentation. They have all of the records from the doctors, or excuse me, letters stating how dependent both my daughter and I are on him, that he is our primary caretaker. We also have our granddaughter, who's 2 years old, who we are raising because her mother is ill. So we co-parent her. She calls my husband Poppy. To her, that's the only man in her life that is her father, her grandfather. That's her everything. So my husband is taking care of three of us.
And the professional people.
No. Yes, they know.
Professional people know. The folks that want to send him back away from you, they know.
They know. That's why they granted us 30 days. How kind of them.
And I think it needs to be explained, because this is where sometimes it gets lost among the audience. Domingo, you came to this country
legally.
Yes, you admitted to the crime, which was committed in 2004. You did the time, and yet you're paying the price in that they want to deport you because of that crime, and you found out about this in 2012, is that correct?
Yes, 2012. We had a letter sent to our house saying that I got deported, and it wasn't me, so it was somebody else that had stolen my identity and started committing crime in Pennsylvania. So that person got deported, and
under
then
your name.
Under my name, and then, you know, they found out that I was still here. And they came, they was watching me in the house. Every time I look outside, I see, like, this vehicle outside. So me and my wife was always wondering, like, why that vehicle is there. We thought it was like a pedophile
that lived in our neighborhood, because there was so much police activity. And my husband used to look all the time, and I really thought the day they picked him up, my last words to him was, stop being paranoid. He was bringing my daughter to the hospital. I'll never forget it.
They'll follow me to work. It was following me to my job, and I could see them driving in front of the house. And
for 8 months.
And for 8 months, and, you know, until one day I was bringing my daughter to an appointment, and that's when they came behind me and stopped me, and I didn't understand why.
He was picked up in a federal raid that was across the whole United States. They had picked up over 3,000 some odd illegal and legal immigrants.
So Domingo, you were part of that federal raid then?
Yes.
Yeah. He had literally been being watched for 8 months. And like I said, I mean, during that time, I didn't believe it. I really didn't believe it until they told us. And then things started making sense, why people were following us, why there was so much activity in front of the house. I mean, they really treated this man like if he had some significant criminal history. And the day they picked him up, I'll never forget the words they told me. They said, this is going to be the best day of your life and the worst day. It's going to be the worst day because we're taking him into custody. But tomorrow, it'll be the best day of your life because we're going to release him and you'll never have to look over your shoulders again because we know about the other person. We know about the identity theft. We know the crimes were not your husband. We know we had the wrong person, that it was him, and it's all going to be fixed, ma'am.
And it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. It's not even immigration knows the law.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to be back with our guests, Diane and Domingo Ferreira, here on Brad and
Brad
Dan.
Davis, Dan Lovallo, with you this morning with Domingo and Diane Ferreira. And Domingo is about to be deported. Dan and I have been thinking about this case for a long time, and we contacted the two of them because we wanted to have you hear their side of the story. There's no question. There's no question the way they've been treated, and there's no question in our minds that something should be done. They can't. They just can't separate this family. The family depends on Domingo. And without Domingo, what is going to happen to the children? What is going to happen to Diane? That is the tragedy here. And you can't tell me, and I'm sure Dan agrees with me, that we cannot get more time and get this thing straightened out. It's got to be straightened out.
Okay, Brad, a couple questions. And first we'll ask, because I know people are probably thinking, Diane, why didn't, and Domingo, you can talk too, obviously, why didn't you become a U.S. citizen?
You want me to? That, for us, is the big question that we've read in the media and we've never had a chance to respond to, so I'm glad you asked that. To be honest, we never thought about it. We were very young when we got married. We were together since we were 17. We raised three kids. I went to school. I worked. Domingo worked two jobs. It was never a thought in our mind because of his green card, the way it was set up. It didn't originally need to be renewed. I think it was 10 or 15 years. So that's a good chunk of our marriage right there. And being young, now we're together. He had just got in the country at 14, legally. We got together at 17. So from the age of 17 to almost 30 years old, it was never a thought in our mind. When his card would have came up for renewal, then it would have triggered, okay, let's do citizenship. The problem is, by the time that happened, he couldn't because he already had that criminal record. He did not design in his mind, I'm going to go out and I'm going to commit a crime, so let me become a citizen beforehand. These weren't things we thought of. It just wasn't on our radar. We were young, raising a family.
Well, again, that is understandable. And the thing is now, the problem that we have is to keep Domingo here.
Yes.
And this is what we've got to try to do. And this is the reason that Dan and I wanted to have you come on our program, so that our radio audience, and our radio audience is a very caring and understanding group of people.
That's good to know, because it hasn't been an easy road.
But they are. They know that we would not get involved with anything unless we had completely researched it.
Absolutely. And that you That's need, important.
And that you need help.
Okay. Explain to our audience, you've both undergone harassment. Explain the kind of harassment you've undergone.
What happened is basically, do you want to take it or?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm here legal. I'm not here illegal. I have my green card. You know, I paid to come in. My mother's saying for me, you know, my wife is in, she was born in the Hartford Hospital, so she's not illegal. So She is here. She's an American.
We've had a lot of hate. Basically, what happened is when we did one of the media interviews, originally the address, our address was flashed when they showed the letter from immigration. And it was an accident. It was unintentional. But nevertheless, our address was shared. At that point in time, we had a lot of internet trolls, people that researched our address, people that researched, they started displaying what vehicle we were driving, our license plate. My son had a motor vehicle violation. They actually took my son's motor vehicle violation from from, you know, a website. They didn't even show it was a motor vehicle. They plastered it and they said, these are the type of kids they're raising. Look at these degenerates. Their own grandchild doesn't have a father. It's been heartbreaking, the comments that have been thrown at my family. It's been absolutely disgusting. They called me an anchor mother, saying that I jumped the border with him and came here to secure our rights and had our kids here, which is ludicrous because, again, my mother was a Hartford police officer. I worked in social work here. I'm born and raised here. Our kids are all here. Our grandchild. I mean, how can you say it's bad enough you have hate for my husband, who you don't even know, but how can you have hate for his family, too?
That's something. That's something that has got to be told, and you have just told it. There's no question. There's no question about it. What would you like, Dan and myself, what would you like us to try to do?
Anything and everything. We don't. We came today because, first of all, Brad, you're a legend. You know that. You're definitely well-regarded, and you as well. Your show, as you said, do have a lot of compassionate listeners. We were very scared to come on air because we've been bashed so much. But I don't want that to detract from the positives that we've had. And we have had some positive, phenomenal support from people. We are actually having a benefit on the 27th, which our supporters are invited to, and we can give you more, you know, information after on how to find out how to attend. And that is our way of giving back to supporters. Not only is it a fundraiser, but it's more for us to have a meet and greet, because so many people have stood behind us lately and they don't even know us. And that to us is incredible because we're really nobody. We're your next door neighbor.
You still need money too.
We're gonna take a break. We have a lot more to talk about in our final segment with our guests, Dan and Domingo Ferreira. Don't go away. Coming right back on Brad and
Dan. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan and I are talking with Domingo and Dan Ferreira. And Domingo is about ready to be deported. And this absolutely should not happen. He's got to have some time. And Domingo, as you look at your life now, as you look at your life, you have supported your family. There's no question about it. You had a green card. You've done everything legally. You're not here illegally or anything like that. What do you want? What do you want to happen to you?
I want to remain in the country, and I want to keep working and supporting my family. And, you know, this has created a lot of turmoil in my life. You know, now I'm on anxiety medication because of everything that's going on. It's like, you know, when I drive, I'm, you know, nervous if I'm going to get stopped or, you know what I mean? It's like hard to live like this. I wasn't this, I feel so vulnerable that I'm not, you know what I mean? I don't feel secure, and I don't feel safe. I feel like I'm paranoid because I don't know if they're watching me, if they're following me, and they just, you know, just creating a lot of anxiety in my life. And I never have none of this feeling because I'm a proud person, and I know I made a mistake in my life. I admit what I did. I'm not hiding from it. I'm not running from it. You know, I just want to remain in this country so I could take care of my family and just see my kids and my grandkids, you know, being raised. And, you know, I just want to continue being a productive member of society. And, you know, my goal is to, you know, remain in the country, stay here with my wife and kids.
And, you know, Domingo, you've always worked. You've paid your taxes. You observed the law. You did make that mistake, but you paid the price for that. So, you've played by the rules.
Yeah, essentially, I did. You know, I always pay my taxes, my income tax, and my car taxes. I'm a homeowner. We've always been homeowners. If I didn't own a home, I own a condo. I always lived the American dream, man. And, you know, and this mistake is just, you know, is It's like tearing my whole family apart and myself. And you know, I just hope that somebody out there listening to me that, you know, make sure you don't make this type of mistake so you don't bring this home, because I don't wish this on my worst enemy, because, that you know, it just tearing us apart.
It's hard for me as his wife to see everything that he's gone through. I mean, this man is very charismatic. He is very jovial. He's the type of person that he'll go up to you and he'll joke about the Red Sox or the Yankees. He's always, anybody that knows my husband knows him as a comedian. They know him as a fun-loving person, and that person is gone today. He's not the same person. He lives in fear. We drive, and we have to live like we're illegal. That's how we feel, because we're so paranoid. God forbid, if they stop us and they pull us over and they run his name, it'll show up as if he entered the country illegally, and that's not the case. But nothing, immigration still has not fixed everything yet. We know this for a fact. They still have not fixed everything yet. Their easy solution is, in my opinion, just deport him, and we don't have to fix the mess that we created. And that's not fair. He lives in fear continuously. Never mind do I and our kids. Our two-year-old knows something's wrong. Every time that new game freezes, you know how everybody freezes?
Yes.
We started that game in our house, because it literally, every time the doorbell rings, we freeze. And we all look at each other. We don't know who it is. Who's going to be the brave one to open the door? What are we going to open the door and find? We're petrified every day.
Well, I'm so glad that you had an opportunity. And I'm so glad that Dan said to me one day, he talked about you and talked about Domingo. And I said, we've got to get them in here.
And we thank you.
If they will come. And we wanted to guarantee you that nobody would see you. We wanted to protect you. But we wanted your story, because we felt that our listeners definitely would want to get involved with you.
And we thank you greatly.
Before we wrap up our interview, what are we looking at as far as a timetable, next court appearance? What happens?
Financially, we are depleted. I know that's been one of the concerns of people, and that's what I find funny. Some of the hateful comments have been these welfare leeches, these this, these that. People on welfare or whatever wouldn't have had the type of stockade that we had. My husband worked. He busted his butt for many years. We had savings plans. We had perfect credit. We had all of it. We depleted everything, absolutely everything. We depleted our resources. Even if we had resources, there were attorneys that didn't want to touch our case because of the complexity of it. And thankfully, we are finally represented by three individuals. We refer to them as the dream team, because for us, essentially, that's all we have to hope for. And we don't know that there's anything they can do. They don't know that there's anything they can do. They are basically putting aside the need for retainers and all of that until after the fundraiser. They have been generous enough to put that aside for right now and to get to work now. And when I say get to work, basically, they are exploring if there are any options and avenues, and if so, what they can do to take. But right now, we don't have much hope. February 2nd is the day that my husband turns himself in. And again, just like last month, I'm walking into the building with him, not knowing, am I going to be walking out the building alone? I pray to God we have another extension. God only knows I pray to God for that. But on the flip side, it's hard, those extensions too, because we're still living with buckets and luggage all around us. And it's a constant reminder daily of what we're living with. I mean, we wake up not just with the knowledge of it, but we physically see it. Our house is in shambles. If you've seen the interviews, you've seen.
Counting days.
We're like convicts. We count off days on the calendar. We count down.
We thank you, the two of you. And Dan and I will be here. We will be here. And we're glad that you could spend the time with us.
We thank you for having us.
To tell
us,
God bless you.
God bless you too. Thank you.